Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and today we are reading from the big book, and we are in the chapter, We Agnostics, just beginning it, chapter 4, and it's on page 44. And we're reading the first paragraph only in the preceding chapters, and ends with only a spiritual experience will conquer. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Sherry Z, the 12 Traditions, Alex K, and the readers of the text are Shelley E and Stephanie L. The share ID for Monday, November 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,660. That's 19660. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, November 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19,662. That's 19662. And our newcomer greeter is Noel E. And our announcements person is Lois P. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Sherry Z to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you, Mo, and everyone on the line for doing your service. I'm Sherry Z from Southern California, but currently in McCall, Idaho. And these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Sherry Z. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Alex K., compulsive eater in California. One, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
And thank you very much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter, We Agnostics, and it's on page 44, the first paragraph beginning with, in the preceding chapters, and ending with only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Chapter 4, page 44 of the Big Book, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you've learned something of alcoholism. We hope we've made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. I'm honored to have this paragraph today. Again, Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater in Arlington, Texas. I have written on my page 44 at the top. Page 17 to 45 shows me I have no power. And now we're moving on, and it's going to show me what the power I need and how to get it. And I do remember when I came into the rooms, I didn't come in for the vanity, although I was huge. You know, I've lost, I don't know, over 135 pounds. But I had lost that same 100 pounds I don't know how many times. Couldn't leave it off and couldn't understand why. And so I came into the rooms with a friend thinking, okay, this is a last-ditch effort. Little did I had no idea the difference the spiritual part of the program would make to me. The very first time I ever did go, I was in my very early 20s, and I heard God, 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 and I got out of there as fast as I could. Finally, when I was in my late 50s and I did finally come in the rooms again, I heard God will help you. Now, guess what? It doesn't have to be the same God for all of us. It can be just a higher power. I'm going through this with my son right now who's an addict, and he keeps saying, I just can't do the God thing. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It can be anything. It can be gravity. Just admit that there's more going on in the world than you know about. Just admit that. you know, and go forward. And so we take ourselves forward here. I also know within this paragraph is the exact definition of an addict. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely and you have little control over the amount you take, you may probably be an alcoholic. And that defines me exactly. I couldn't understand why. And I was so surprised to find out about the allergy and that it wasn't just a willpower thing. But not only that, I'm now existing in a much calmer world. Things don't affect me the way they did. I know I'm not alone. I know I have my higher power behind me. And not only that, you fellows, it makes such huge difference living in 10, 11, 12. And I'm grateful for that. With that, I'll pass, and I look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. And happy Thanksgiving to those who celebrate it. I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E., for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody that we're in We Agnostics. We're reading the first paragraph on page 44. And I will take the names of those who'd like to share. But although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Melanie C.
Jack A. Utah.
Melanie.
Robin P.
Zach, Robin.
Carla C.
Sherry. And who was after Sherry Z?
Carla C.
Who's that? Oh, you're all blurred. Oh, can't hear you. Try something else. All right, I'll tell you who I have. I have Melanie C., I have Zach A., I have Robin P., I have Sherry Z., and I have Carla C. Let's go with that group. So everyone mute your phone except Melanie C. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm calling in from Canby, Oregon this morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, thank God. This is probably one of the single most powerful pieces in questioning myself about am I or am I not, and sort of silence the debate in my mind. And it's the couple of questions that are midway in this particular paragraph. And it says, when you honestly want to, Melanie, can you quit entirely forevermore? Or if when you are compulsively overeating, do you have any control over what you're eating? And that just sealed the deal. I could throw away all the other peripheral things, but more importantly within this thing, I like the first question, although it's stated as part of this paragraph. It says, did I learn in the preceding chapters something about alcoholism? Were these folks able to help me see the difference between the way that I was compulsively overeating all those years and what and how people normally aligned with their relationship with food? Was I able to see that? I have to find out where I'm insane here in step one. I just have to do that in order to be able to move on to the idea that something can restore me to sanity. And that's what we're going to learn here in this particular chapter. We're looking at right into the face of step two. I get to use this as a tool if I'm having any trouble with this power greater than myself, defining it and leaning into it. I get to consider, what about me? Not about God, not about that kind of word, but what about me is unable to lean into or turn over all of the control that I've had for surviving all these years and let somebody else run the show. And I get to do that by looking into first, do I know the difference between? Have I figured that out? If not, I can go back over the last chapter and write out some ideas that they were trying to teach me. I get to find out if I have no control in truly over the food over the long haul, bearing in mind that what I've been doing all these years with diet mentality, you know, having some fun run, you know, 6 or 8 months on a diet plan and losing weight or whatever, those ideas need to be cast aside. And that can I at least try with some sort of open mind, with just a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, consider the idea that my mind is not working properly. It's rather twisted, especially in this area of food. And then I might be able to rely on somebody else to help me get out of this. Because the mind that created this particular scenario that I've been in when I came in here, I was 50, I'm 67 years old now, is not going to be the one I can rely on at all, ever, to get me out of it. I need to have a light. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Melanie C. Zach A, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Zach. Zach, press star 1 to unmute.
Sorry about that. This is Zach A. I am a grateful compulsive overeater from Utah, and I love this paragraph. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to read it this morning with all of you, to feel connected to something bigger than myself. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. I just realized today that the way I try to do things is I try to manipulate myself into doing something by showing myself what are the benefits. Like, look, Zach, you can feel better. You can look good for other people physically. You know, you can lose weight. You can, and I have been feeling some of those benefits. I've been on a food plan, and I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling really good physically. But if I rest on my laurels and just say, if I can think that the benefits, the physical benefits are enough to motivate me to continue working this plan, that will not work because I have a twist of the mind. I have an insidious illness that will tell me that I need to medicate myself with seeking this euphoria and this escape and the food. So I need a power bigger than myself, and the way I access that power is getting out of myself, taking actions, and fitting myself to be of maximum service to people around me. And it's the adventure of how I, each day, seeing how I can be of service to someone else that never gets old. There's always something I can do in any given moment to turn my thoughts to someone I can help and find the joy of doing that. And that is the great adventure of life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Zach A. Robin P. from Paris. Good morning, Robin P.
Thanks so much for your service, Mo. Thank you. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France today. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. It was completely a spiritual awakening. Without God, I had my head in the bowl. I starved. I was bulimic. I was a compulsive overeater, and it was always Russian roulette, and I never knew when it was going to happen. And, you know, it's completely a spiritual awakening. We're traveling 23 cities in 3 months, one day at a time, and God carries us, and God carries me, and God brings us along the way. I just get to work my steps, work my program. Thank God for the God squad in my life and for my sponsor. And it's such a wee recovery and one day at a time. And, you know, we weren't supposed to be in Paris, supposedly. And we had planned to be in Annecy. We had 4 trains yesterday. And one of the trains, we got guidance from 2 conductors, and we got on the wrong train, and we ended up in Paris at 10:30 last night. And God took care of us. And we found a hotel. We got a late afternoon dinner. And, you know, thank God for my husband's support of my recovery. And today we found an organic vegan grocery store, and I got what I needed for the next few days. And God just keeps taking care of us. All I need to be is honest, open, and willing. And that spiritual recovery came from a miracle from God and all of you. And I'm eternally grateful for Vision. God bless you all in your service. I'm sending you all a big hug from Paris. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you very much, Robin from Paris. Sherry Z, followed by Carla C. And after Carla, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you all, visionaries. This is Sherry Z from Southern California, currently in McCall, Idaho, the travel season. So I was 31 plus years in this program and never thought that We Agnostics applied to me. So much so that when my sponsor, as we were working the steps, the Vision Way, I was like, we can skip this chapter. The arrogance. because I grew up religious and I believed that this had nothing to do with me. And she said to me, agnostic means, comes from the Greek, and it means without knowledge. And can you possibly entertain that you don't know what you don't know? And I thought to myself, oh my God, yes, I came from the religion of we were to solve our own problems. Don't show anybody, don't let anybody see you sweat. God is too busy for me. God has children in Africa, and you're on your own. You figure it out. And when you figure it out, that is your religion. And what I didn't know is those were lies that I was telling myself. That was just not true. And what I learned about We Agnostics, and it's now become one of my favorite chapters, and when I do it with sponsees, I just love it. It's not about swaying your religious beliefs. It's about being willing to say, I don't know what I don't know. I just don't know. And what I'm finding in these rooms is I just don't know what I don't know. I wake every morning with a whole set of lies that I tell myself, and I write them out with the guidance of my sponsor. And then I ask God, what are your truths? Because I think they're true. And so interesting, God is like, has a very different set of truths. I just don't know what I don't know. And I love the line, do I want to be right or do I want to be at peace? And We Agnostics is really about, as someone said, existing in a calmer, quieter world. And I'll close with that I'm sitting by a fire in this beautiful hotel early in the morning, and my family's at breakfast, and I'm on a meeting. So I didn't know that life would be like this, and I don't know what lies ahead. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Sherry Z. And before I take Carlos C., I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're reading, starting chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 44. And it starts with, in the preceding chapters, and it ends with, only a spiritual experience will conquer. And after Carla C., I will take another list of names. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm very appreciative for those that have shared already. The spiritual experience for me was the put aside prayer. You know, God help me put aside everything I think I know, because I need a new experience and I need to see the truth. And I can see that this is a cunning, baffling, powerful disease. And my son right now, I've been praying for him for 4 years, and he cannot see the alcoholism. And he almost choked his baby because the baby was crying too much. And I just want some help for him. I just praying for him to get some help. And then just thanking all of you for listening. Thank you. It's Carla C. in California.
Well, thank you, Carla C. And just reminding those who are thinking of sharing, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So with that, I'll take a list of names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry J.
Larry.
Becca R.
Rebecca R.
Jen A.
I got a J. Who was J?
Jen.
J-L.
J-L. Okay.
Vanessa L.
Vanessa.
Liz A.
Liz A.
Jen M.
Jen M. M? Okay. Let's stop there. That's a good lineup. I have Larry G. I'm not sure if it's Becca or Rebecca. I wrote it down really quick. J-L, Vanessa G, Liz A, Jen M. Everyone mute your phone except Larry G. Good morning, Larry. Press star 1, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Larry G. Currently in Hawaii. You know, when I read the Big Book, I have no doubt in my mind that my second dying drunk like me wrote this book. This was not a ghostwriter handed to some committee. Bill uses the word conquer, and you know, I know what that means today because only a higher power could have conquered this hopeless, powerless disease of compulsive eating. The last time we traveled, we went to Yellowstone, and I went there thinking I was going to use the outdoor activities, hiking, to get a fresh start. You know, get a fresh start, Larry, and lose that weight. We're at this dude ranch, and we are next door to this restaurant. And I think I single-handedly, that man had probably his best month ever because I single-handedly was eating there 2 or 3 times a day, starting out with breakfast, you know, 1/2 pound of bacon, massive amounts of potatoes, 6 eggs, you know, 1/2 loaf of bread, you know, a gallon of coffee. And, you know, he thought that was pretty funny, you know, but there's a lot of big men there, so I ate like a big man, right? And then I would go hiking, and I injured my knee really badly because of the weight I was packing. Today, my wife and I are enjoying the first time we've traveled since then. We're in Maui. And the first place I went was a grocery store. I know that eating out is not my friend. I know that I supersize. My mind tells me to get an extra this, extra that. And we went to a store. We got delicious organic food, you know, fruits, vegetables, lean protein. And the trip is not about the food. I am enjoying. I am not in a food coma. I'm not thinking about the next bite or the next meal. I am present with my wife. I haven't injured myself. And we're having the time of our life. So, yes. A higher power conquered this disease, and it could not have happened any other way. I tried my very best. I mean, I could have got an award for bravery for trying hard, right, to outsmart this disease. And it just didn't happen. It was getting worse by the time I came into this program in May of 2020. I knew I was a goner. I knew that a 100-pounder was in the wings. I could not stop it. My name's Larry G. I'm from California, and I wish you all well today. Thank you for service, Mo.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you very much, Larry G. I don't know if it's Rebecca or Becca. Becca R.
Hey, it's Becca. I'll go by anything.
Okay.
But I prefer Becca. Becca alcohol or Becca recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky, and this is why I have to be in the work, because it's right here that I'm so reminded in my normal body size and my very ritualistic eating that I am still a distinct entity separate from my fellows. And it's great to read before a holiday where there's going to be lots of food and eating to remember, like I don't want to go in that victim mold. I don't want to, see it as anything more than I'm a distinct entity, and this is how I take care of myself, that I can show up and be present and be available as a conduit to my higher power, and it doesn't have to be any of the story anymore. And the story is like what I said earlier, of being a victim of, you know, poor me, I don't get to eat like that. No, this food that I prepared is going to open up the afternoon of the holiday to be with the people I love the very most. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm grateful to be in this work and grateful to be reminded that there's no question. I am a compulsive overeater. I saw that in the preceding chapters when I identified Ann, when I identified with Bill, when I read the doctor's opinion. I am right where I'm supposed to be. Thanks, I pass.
And thank you very much, Becca R. Next up, we have JL followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, everyone. JL, calling from Rhode Island. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. And today I'm celebrating over a year and a half of food abstinence from compulsive behaviors. And those compulsive behaviors were, I lived most of my life as a bulimic of several sorts and a restrictor, and all of that was due to my compulsive eating. And I don't share very often in this meeting, but I listen quite often. But I couldn't help but share on this paragraph, because it is my favorite paragraph of the big book. And when I work with a sponsee, I ask them to fill in the blanks, you know, when you honestly want to and you find you can't quit entirely. You know, I would stand over the toilet having purged and swear that was the last time I was ever going to do that again. And I would find myself right back in the same spot because I couldn't do it. You know, and the other part of the passage, you know, there would be a dessert on the counter, and I'd swear I'm only going to have a slice and a glass of milk. And by the end of the evening, I've eaten the entire thing in a gallon of milk. And then I start the lies of where that thing went, and I would start the lies. And you know, when you answer those questions, when I have my sponsees answer those questions, the point is that I'm getting at is of myself, I can't do it. It's already been said once in the shares. I walked into this chapter very arrogant because I was a believer. I'm like, what more are you going to teach me about God? And when I said that to my sponsor, his eyebrow went up almost like Mr. Spock used to do when he found something fascinating. And he'd say, oh, really? So you have all the information there is on God. He said, if that's the case, your God is too small. How about trying to find a different facet of that diamond you call God? And use the 12 steps to do so. When I did that, I can honestly say, like I started, I have over a year and a half of food abstinence from compulsive behaviors. Not of me. Daily, not of me, but daily reaching in and plugging into the power source. Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you very much, JL. And next up is Vanessa G, followed by Liz A. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G from New Mexico, recovered. I love this. I actually love all four pages, 42 through 45. I think they were the crux of my recovery when I first came to 12 Steps years ago. And, you know, I listened and heard people in the rooms talking about this higher power thing. And I thought for sure that I had totally explained it away as totally man-made, nothing bigger than man, nothing bigger than me. And when I came and I heard everyone talking about it, I thought, my gosh, these people are really delusional. They don't understand the truth. But given the situation, you know, the fact that I did not have any control over the amount I took and I did not have the ability to quit entirely, I found that I really had no choice, and I had to make that decision just to act as if. And so I did. You know, I just acted as if. I acted like all the other people in the room, and it's kind of embarrassing, but the only prayer that I could remember was the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer, and I started with that. And as a result of going through the steps, asking for help along the way, from that higher power, whatever it was, I managed to get all the way through and found myself, for lack of a better word, transformed. It was amazing. It was amazing what happened, how much fear left me, how much anxiety left me, the different person that I became. So I'm just really grateful to this book. I'm really grateful to this particular paragraph. I'm grateful for these four pages that take me from step one to step two. It's a beautiful program, and you guys here on the Vision Line have, you know, just helped me really bring it into my soul, really bring it into my soul. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G. Up next is Liz A., followed by Jen M., and depending, we might have time for a few more shares after Jen. Good morning, Liz A.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo, for your service. My name is Liz A., and I am from Los Angeles. This section, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, etc. I mean, if that isn't the most perfect summary of the preceding chapters of step one, I mean, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. That's the mental twist. Or if when drinking, you have little control of the amount you take, there's your allergy. You know, I could skip all those chapters and just read that and identify as a compulsive overeater. It's amazing. And then the next sentence, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Well, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is there is only one solution, okay? And the good news is that this book, is the purpose of this book is to help me find a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. So that I have a book which is now going to tell me how I'm going to have this spiritual experience conquer my disease. And so, I mean, it's such a powerful, powerful paragraph for me. And I want to thank all of you in the rooms. I don't know what I would do without my morning vision meeting. It's literally saved my life. And God bless all of you. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you very much, Liz A. from California. After, let me tell everybody where we're at again. We're in starting chapter 4, Readostics, the first paragraph on page 44. In the preceding chapters, and it ends with only a spiritual experience will conquer. And after Jen M., I can take a few more. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service, Mo. This is Jen M. calling in from British Columbia. And I wanted to share on this on this paragraph because I am just beginning my spiritual experience, and it is something that I really could not have predicted how great it is feeling. I'm working with a sponsor. We're talking to each other 3 times a week, going through the big book. I'm immensely frustrated that we're, you know, only on page like 19 now, and how long is it going to take? But I'm being patient in the process, and also trying to absorb the process and enjoy the process and enjoy this totally new experience of planning out my food the day before and not thinking very much about what I'm eating through the day. It's an entire relief that I really never thought possible. I always thought that planning out my food would create such anxiety and turmoil that I would continue to just be so resistant and well, it's my childish self that just wants all that freedom. But very interesting to find that there is this new freedom and a new type of peace about having things planned out. And that's just the start of my spiritual experience, I know. And I'm looking forward to all the rest. So thank you all for being here, and I wish you a great day.
Thank you very much. Jen M. Okay, and before I take some more names, I think I can pick about three more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to take one of these last three? We'll try three shares.
Cindy.
Sarah.
Cindy. Who was that? Cindy, yes.
Jill C.
Jill C. I got one more.
Dara. Dara, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's we'll stop there. I've got Cindy F., Jill C., and Dara C., I think. All right, go ahead. Cindy F., you're on.
Hi, can you all hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for your service. My name's Cindy F. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, North Carolina. And just wanted to share a minute on this paragraph. My daughter's in town, and all three of my girls have been together, and they think I'm a little bit crazy for all the things that I do to maintain my sobriety. And as they, you know, as I spend time with them, they see me measuring and weighing food, and my daughter said to me the other day, she said, Mom, she's like, do you still have to do that? And I looked at her and said, I do. I have to. And this paragraph, what it means to me is when I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop from starting. And for me, now that the food is down, the main crux of this disease is between my ears, and I want to, it still is there, and it wants to set me apart, and but this paragraph levels me. It tells me that I'm the same as every other compulsive eater in the room today. I'm not special. I am a distinct entity, but I'm not better than anyone else. And I'm just so grateful. You know, I used to hear people say when they came in the room, they were grateful for their disease. And I would think, are y'all crazy? And but I think I'm starting to get it. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. And I just wish everyone a blessed Thanksgiving, and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you very much, Cindy F. And next up, we'll have Jill C., followed by Dara C. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Jill C. I'm in Northern California. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And even as I say that, I'm like, oh, really? And you guys, this paragraph and listening today has been so great. I read this paragraph and I think, oh, well, that's nice, you know, but that's not me. And then I have to stop and think, oh, really? Well, what about that relapse that happened? And were you able to stop? You know, what about all those times you just kept going to the grocery store every day and every day saying, no, I'm not going to do that? And it is amazing to me that in my own mind, when I think about this and I read and understand and I think, oh, that's not me. And being in program, listening to this meeting, listening to everyone shares, it just reminds me so much like, oh, yeah, there was that time. Remember this, you know, and I just love it. And I'm so grateful to everyone. I'm going through my steps. I'm excited to really be hanging on to it this time. And as someone said, like, really having a relationship with God, that even though I was a believer before, you know, it just wasn't like it is now. And I'm so thankful that it has changed. And it's deeper. And, you know, every day, as I heard yesterday, we have to plug in. And if I don't plug in, I really feel it. Not to mention the people around me probably really feel it. So Thank you. I'm grateful for this program, and with that, I pass.
And thank you, Jill C. And Dara C., you're up next. You got three, and I think that will take us out. Good morning, Dara.
Hi. Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me okay?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Dara C., recovered in Delaware. It's great to hear you. And these were really amazing shares this morning. Thank you, everyone who shared. I don't usually get on the 10 o'clock meeting, but it is my favorite, so I am very excited to be here this week while I have some time off. And I'm so excited to be starting We Agnostics because it's my most favorite chapter. How many times in the big book am I reminded that I need a spiritual experience, that that is the solution? I mean, is it a million? It's probably less than a million, but it's a lot. It's a lot, but yet I need to see it every day. I really do. I need this reminder because it's amazing how often I take my will back and think that I can do this and I can run the show and I've got this. And it's really like, I mean, every day, many times a day, probably I need that reminder that the only thing that will help, that will solve my problem, is a spiritual experience. That's it. So I'm really grateful for that reminder again today. Like I said, I need that every day. I believe the number one spiritual principle is honesty, and it is really amazing the level of denial and delusion that I suffer from. And when I'm feeling disturbed, I get to take a look and try to peel back those layers and do an inventory and share and grow to get to the truth, because I lie to myself about everything, and it sounds right. It sounds true. It sounds honest. I'm an honest person. I'm not a liar, but I am. And so when I get to see the truth, it sets me free, and I get to relax into the surrender and alignment with God's will and feel the promises of this program and what a true spiritual experience is. If I'm not being honest with myself, I have no chance of spiritual growth and development. So for me, I am going to just keep showing up one day at a time and working this spiritual program to the best of my ability. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Dara C. And I think we'll close a minute early, but I guess that's okay. This was a powerful meeting. Thank you all for your shares. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Stephanie L. to read Our Book is Meant to be Suggestive Only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.